Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by Ironman U, EverySite.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life for sport. You can check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com or on iTunes. Our next guest probably just had the greatest ever season for an endurance athlete. She won Ironman Frankfurt, the European Championship. She won the Ironman 70.3 World Championship. She won Kona for the first time, the Ironman World Championship. And she won the Triple Crown, which is another $1 million. Daniela Reif joins us. Daniela, congratulations on an amazing season.
Thank you so much, Bob.
Always a pleasure. So, Daniela, take me back. Were your sports, were you a swimmer growing up? What were your sports?
Well, I started early with my sport. I was lucky to have a, you know, active family. My mom was running, and she kind of, you know, she took me with her to running races. And so I started with athletics while I was maybe, I think, when I was 10, and swimming when I was, I think, 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And, so I just had, you know, enjoyed squat training, and then with the age of 14, I started training for triathlon, and I joined the Wildcats. So yeah, that was where it all started.
So the Wildcats, that was a triathlon team?
Yeah, it still exists. Yeah, so they're based in Basel, and the coach then was he saw me in a triathlon camp, and he talked to me, and he was really keen to have me on the team and start working with me. And he was one of the biggest influence, of course, in my career, because from then I started to train with the team and the Wildcats. And he was my coach for 8 years and brought me to the Olympics in Beijing.
Yeah, and so your triathlon debut, 2003, 17 years old. I think you were fourth at the Junior European Championships, sixth at the Junior World Championships. What did you know at that point about? At that point, did you know the triathlon was an Olympic sport? Was that the goal?
Yeah, it's a bit funny, like how my career developed, because I never dreamt of being an Olympic champion or anything, like, you know, that was my main focus. I just had the opportunity to join that team, and I did it, and then I started to really like to train with these people in the team. And then I realized that, yeah, I was doing well at it. And, of course, I enjoyed it even more. And I think that's really important when you're young. You just focus on first trying to get better and also enjoy it. And then one day the national coach, he came to me and he's like, oh, you should really, try to qualify for the Olympics. And I was like, what? That's like next year. How is this possible? And from then I started racing World Cups, and in end of 2006 I did my first World Cup. It was 1.5 years before the Olympics, and I just took this opportunity as well, and it turned out to be a good decision. And so that's how I qualified for the Olympics, and then made another big step towards the Olympics, and had actually one of my best races.
So in 2004, when you won the Junior Worlds, that was in Switzerland, right? Your home country. How exciting was that to win on your home turf?
Yeah, that was a very special race. I remember I went about a week before the race. I went there because I really wanted to see the course. And so I went there with a friend, and we had a homestay in Lausanne. And we had a great time, also just by, you know, talking about funny things, and we were quite excited to be race there. And it turned out to be a great race for me, and of course it was very special to win in front of your home crowd. And I still remember it was only July, and I decided after July, I said, oh, I reached my goal and for this season, and I decided to take a break. So I took a break already in July, which is quite unusual, because normally the season goes much longer.
Right.
But there was no world champs after because it was already in the spring. So I decided to take a break and went on holidays with my friends to some party destination. So that was quite a fun decision after, you know, with like such an age. I was so happy to win this race. I decided to celebrate it. And I didn't see, at that point, I was like, why would I train now again? Like, I just won the Europeans.
Right, I'm done. My season's over. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a good decision because, of course, I was hungry again for the next season. But by the time, it was also good to celebrate it.
So 2008 ITU Worlds, it was freezing. Really, really cold day. Do you remember that, how cold that was?
Which race?
ITU 2008, I think it was the ITU World Championships.
Freezing. Definitely also one race I won't forget because that was, it felt like jumping off the bar. When we start from the beginning, like swimming was at 11 degrees, and I remember that was the warmest part of the race because then you had the wetsuit on and it was quite okay still. And then because it was in the morning and it was raining, so every lap on the bike, you would get colder and colder. So I decided to just lead because when you didn't pedal in a group, you would just be so cold. So I did a lot of work in the front and we had a breakaway. And then, running was, it was definitely hard because you kind of feel like you run on sticks because you don't feel your feet. And, it was not an easy race, you know, but it's definitely one I'm also very proud of. And it was kind of the breakthrough, of the year as well. I had 2008 was really a breakthrough year for me.
Well, breakthrough year because you end up going to your first Olympic Games in Beijing. And what was that Olympic experience like representing your country?
Yeah, that's a feeling which is very, very special. You, as an athlete, often you race for yourself or you race also for your sponsors. And but then at the Olympics, you're there with all different athletes from different sports. And that makes it very unique because you're there to represent your country. And so yeah, it was definitely an inspirational race, but also it was not like expected. So I was quite nervous before the race, and I definitely didn't enjoy it that much. Then when you talk about the Olympics, how great it is, for me it was also quite a intense experience.
Sure.
Because you prepare yourself so much for that race, and so before the race you're not able to enjoy anything. So it's just the days, maybe the 2 or 3 days after the race, you kind of get that that feeling of, where you can really enjoy that atmosphere. Before, we didn't go to Olympic Village, we were in our hotels and really focusing. So it was definitely some really nice parts, but also things I didn't know they were that intense.
So you get seventh in your first Olympics, and then you're gearing up, after 2008, you're gearing up for the Olympics again in 2012 in London. Talk a little bit about, you're focusing on ITU Olympic distance racing. When did you start thinking that you might want to step up and go longer distances?
Yeah, it was a bit of a process, of course. I think I had my best race was in Seoul, 2010, and then I had a bit of a problem, some 2 years where I really struggled, and I was at the point where I didn't know if I wanted to triathlon at all, and I started to study.
Right.
And that was just after the Olympics, but then also I started to decide to just do some non-drafting races for fun, and that's where I realized that I still like that sport, and that's, I think, where I also realized that where I can really, in the non-drafting races, is where I can really show my strength on the bike. And 2013 was the year where I did my first half Ironman in the spring. And I, really enjoyed it. And that was the year where I kind of wanted to, qualify for the Worlds, 70.3 Worlds in Vegas,
yep.
Which I did. But that year I still didn't think about Ironman yet. That was only in the end of 2013 where I actually went to Cozumel to train with Brett Sutton.
Right.
Where I also met Caroline Steffen, for example, who did Ironman. And that was the first time I watched Kona after I met Caroline Steffen, because I kind of realized how they train. I always thought they have to do so much crazy training, and I realized the training for Ironman is different to World Cup training, like Olympic distance training, but it's not more extreme, for example. And so then I started to think about if I would ever race an Ironman, you know. And so that was the first time I had the thought about racing Ironman.
So did you come over in 2013 to watch it?
No, I went home after Cozumel.
Yeah.
That camp with Brett, I went home and went back to studies, and I just watched it. I remember that was the first time I watched it just online. Before that, I never watched it at all. I was, I'm not someone who watches like races that much. I just like to do them.
Exactly.
And, but because I knew her and I was kind of interested how that works, and I was, got into it, and that was, I watched it the first time, and then hard to believe the year after I was there and raced second. So yeah, it's crazy how quickly things can change in your life.
Now, did Brett, when you went down to the camp in Cozumel, did he tell you that, you know, I think that you will be really, really good at this longer distance?
The original plan was never to, when we started, was actually to make me ready for Rio, because Brett was part of the Olympic training.
Yep.
So the Swiss Triathlon wanted to work with him, or Rito Hook. He was trying to win Brett for a national coach.
Yes.
And then this changed a bit when Rito was not with the federation anymore, and then Brett started to have his own athletes, and he focused on his own athletes. So I was actually really lucky to just be able to get the chance to train with him, and the first goal was actually to prepare me for Rio. And then when I started training with him after a few months, he started to realize that my body must suit the long distance better than the short distance, and that's where he started to also give me races, like put me into races, like in half Ironman races, like Rapperswil, and then not so soon later, he started to talk to me about Ironman Zurich.
Right, and so your first Ironman was Ironman Zurich, and having that in your home country had to be pretty special. What do you remember about that first Ironman?
Yeah, it was a very interesting experiment. It was for me. We decided that the Wednesday before the race, so the race was on Sunday, and I was originally planning on racing the 50-on-50, and because we couldn't decide which race we do, he just said, "Oh, you can just do both and do the Ironman as a training session." And I was like, in the first place, I thought he was a bit crazy, and then I realized that, well, I don't have anything to lose. And I knew Céline Scherer, she was racing, and I was training with her in St. Moritz, so I thought, well, maybe it might be quite fun to, you know, to race together.
Right.
So I didn't really overthink it and just did it, and it turned out to come really well. So I was really, really surprised. I didn't think I would be able to finish it, and then I was very surprised that the body could handle it quite well, and it was a very, very emotional weekend for me, because to have it was kind of it would definitely change my thinking, and also my visions my goals for Ironman, because since then I never thought I would want to do it, and then when I did the first Ironman, I was really surprised how good I felt and how much I liked it.
So you didn't decide to do your first Ironman until Wednesday of race week.
Yes. So then on Wednesday, Thursday morning, I went to the supermarket to get some food because I didn't know what to eat. So I bought about 1 kilogram of chocolate and like cake and everything because I thought I need to eat that every, like I need to eat so much before the race. So I ended up going with a full bag of chocolate and cake to Zurich because I thought I need to eat that much to be able to finish it.
Right.
And I didn't end up eating everything, but I definitely had a bit of chocolate, so it helped to get the energy in.
So that's what you ate. You ate basically chocolate. That was your nutrition during.
Not in the race, but the day before.
Gotcha.
I had. Well, it was quite interesting. I had the nutrition plan from Brett was quite easy. He just said, "Oh, whatever like you want, have sausage or whatever. Just have energy." And so because I raced the 51.50 on Saturday, I just went straight after the race. I went actually to the food tent, and I had a pasta bolognese and sausage. So that was my lunch before the Ironman. And, definitely gave me energy. So I think that was important.
Now, did you win both?
I did, yes.
I love that. I love it. A little warm-up race. I'll do an Olympic distance race the day before. That is funny. So, okay, so you win Zurich, and then that qualifies you to come to Kona for the first time. But at that point, you were still... the focus for the season was Ironman 70.3 in Mont Tremblant, correct?
That's correct, yes. That was my big goal for the year, and I really, that was my kind of my vision as well to win this race once. And so even I started to realize that I can be able to, that I can qualify for Kona and be able to race there, I still thought it was important to do the race in Mont Tremblant 70.3, and it was definitely a very great title for me. And then for me after this, it was always bonus. So going to Kona, I still remember I was really motivated, and also said before the race, I think my goal is to win, but I saw it as a bonus, and that was quite. That was good for me because it took a lot of pressure away, and I could just go for it. And that's how I raced as well. And I think I definitely did the maximum. I could really show them the maximum of myself in that race, which is always very, very positive for an athlete if you can, show the best you can.
Right. What amazed me is a lot of athletes come to Kona a month ahead of time, and they know every inch of the course. I think you showed up like on Wednesday or something of race week and didn't really know that much about the course.
Yes, I think it was Tuesday night. Yeah.
Tuesday night.
And then my bikes didn't arrive, so I had another day to wait for my bike. And so, it was, I think it was one good thing definitely was to keep the pressure down and, not to have too many interviews before the race. So I just flew in, and I didn't have too many, distraction. So
right.
It was definitely good for me because I was not used to so much attention. And going to the press conference, I was really surprised how many people wanted to hear what I want to do. And so it was, it was good to keep it a bit low key in that phase. And definitely, it was special to not know the course. I definitely liked it better this year to have an idea where you run and where it's going to go uphill and where it's going to go downhill. But I think last year it was a good thing to just, do it. And, on race day, you normally find the way from itself.
Right.
So that was never the problem. It was more mentally, where you can sometimes always think the course and think it might be, too long or something
like
this.
Right. When you come to a race like that, Ironman, you'd been to Olympic Games. Two times you've been to Olympic Games. Were you surprised at the amount of media and just what Ironman Hawaii was and just everything around it? Did it seem like the Olympics to you, or were you used to that because you'd had the Olympic experience?
No, it was definitely very impressive how the media attention is in Kona. I was positively surprised. And for me in Beijing, there's also a lot of other good athletes which have attention. So, you have like Fabian Cancellara, and you have a swimmer, and you have different athletes. It's more spread out, I think, and you're not really, I think you're not really at home, so then you don't really see it that extreme as well. Where in Kona, you kind of live in this village or city, and everything is about triathlon, and everyone who's there is really passionate about triathlon. So it gives that, it makes also this atmosphere, which is really unique, and I think that's also part of the spirit of Kona, which makes it so special.
So you're leading that race for a big chunk of the day. Marinda Carfrae comes by, a couple miles from the finish line. But for you, knowing that this was a bonus, your goal was Ironman 70.3, were you okay getting second place, knowing that that wasn't our goal was just to win Ironman 70.3. We did that, and whatever I did here was sort of gravy. It was a bonus just coming here and doing it.
Well, when I raced, I wanted to show my best, and I think that's why after, like a few days after, I realized I can be super happy with that second place. Of course, when you're in the race, you want to win, and then leading for such a long time, I wasn't happy when she passed me, and I could see that I did a great effort,
right.
But still I was like, it was really close. So of course you think like, could have gone a bit faster or could have done anything better. But when I rethought the race, I just I knew that I showed my maximum. Even I lost a bit, maybe I lost a tail and I had a bit of a energy problem at one part. I think that was just, yeah, that's part of racing, and that's not an excuse to say I could have been better. I think I really shot the best I can on that day, and then that's why I was also really happy with my second place. But of course, in the finish, you worked hard, and you've been out there for almost 9 hours, and of course, it's not a nice feeling when you get past in the last last 4Ks before the finish.
So coming into this year, you've got Ironman 70.3, your defending champion, Ironman Kona, which is the world championship that you had taken the silver medal in last year. And also then this, they announced the Triple Crown, which was going to be Dubai. And then we really weren't sure what the second event was going to be, but the third event was going to be Bahrain. Going into the season, how do you balance all that when you sit down with Brett and say, okay, I want to win the Triple Crown, and I want to win Ironman 70.3 again, and I want to win Kona? It's hard to sort of focus on all of that, right? How hard was it to figure out how you're going to train to be ready for all those races?
Well, that's the point. We never sat down and said, I want to win this and this and this and this. We saw the first race as a test race,
right.
And I was quite ready, and I wanted to see where I'm at. And of course, it was the first part of the Triple Crown, and it was a big prize purse. Of course, it was a big race, but for Brett, I think it was never like the main focus. We just wanted to go there and see where we at, and so it never felt like that's like the key of the season. I need to win this, and. I think that's also not a good point to look at anyway, to think, I need to win this. So I just did a test, and I passed it well, and I had the first win.
Yeah.
And then I think, this season was very special because I from every race, I did, in most of all the races, I had one or two little mistakes, and I tried to improve that every year for the next race. So, I think I really could improve through the whole season. And then going to Kona, that was kind of the first goal, or first was Selam C, but we didn't overjudge the races. I knew I was fit, and I just always wanted to, I tried to focus on good performance,
mm-hmm.
and just try to say, for example, this time I'd like to have, a really good bike bike split, or I want to really focus on this. And that's what I tried. And then going to Kona, of course, that was the big goal for me personally. But I don't think it was for Brett. So I think he prepared me, you know, the best possible for Kona. But he always said, you must most likely going to be even better after for Bahrain. And so I think to have that long-term thinking and not just thinking from win to win,
right,
but more from improving and improving your performance through the year, which really helped me to be strong till the end. And yeah, after Kona, I did improve again, and I had really good sessions. And so it was really interesting to see that through the season for such a long period, I could improve and also not get injured or not get sick.
So in Kona, Marinda Carfrae's at that point, two-time defending champion, and last year she caught you with amazing run. She obviously the best runner out there. During the race, when did you hear that Marinda was out of the race, and did that change anything for you?
Yeah, I think they told me going back, coming back from Harvey,
uh-huh,
down after maybe 110 or something, 110K.
Yep.
And I mean, of course, it's a fact. It's a fact, or how do you say it? It's an important news,
right?
Because that would, for me, I knew I won't have someone chasing me in the run.
Right.
But I don't think it changed my racing, because from then, that's where I actually started to really put the hammer down and really try to gain time on I think Jody Swallow by then was still,
yes,
really close, and we were going pretty fast, and I really tried to focus on that part of the race, coming home really strong on the bike, where last year I struggled a bit in the last 40K. I wanted to, or I tried to come home strong in the last 40K. And that's all I focused on, the bike. And then once I was on the run, of course it was, of course it's nice news if you know you're not going to have someone chasing like last year, which where it was really close.
Right.
But it didn't change my racing in terms of tactic. Of course, a DNF is never a,
yeah,
something you hope for another athlete, because
yes,
you want to race each other, and
right,
it's always more interesting to, or also more rewarding if you can tell, you race against the best, and you showed the best performance. So it definitely didn't change my tactic.
Right. So when you win this race, you win an Ironman World Championship, which is the most important race in our sport. How does that change things for you? Even before we get to the $1 million thing, when you, here's a race you come to first time out, you take the silver, and this time you win it. Did that change in terms of your sponsors, in terms of awareness for you? How did your world change?
I think the biggest change was that I was just really, really, the feeling, not
content,
relief, but content. Yeah, I was really, I think I was just so proud that the team and everything did it. And I still remember after the week after I won, I had a few dreams where I actually dreamt I won.
Uh-huh.
And then I woke up and I wasn't sure anymore if I just dreamt it or if it was true. And so it happened three times in that week after I won. And so it shows that, yeah, that it was important to me. And I definitely gave me that feeling of really a content, because that was really the goal this year for me, and I was, really happy when, I knew I could do it, but then it's, you really have to do it first, and then it's, when it's done, then you can only know you did it, and so that was very special. Of course, the tension also was, I definitely had a few more emails, of course, but to be honest, after Kona, because I didn't even go home, which was also part of the preparation for Bahrain, because I knew if I go home, I would have more things to do. Then Brett advised me to stay in the heat and train properly so I could really get the best out of myself for Bahrain. And that's why I, so far, like till Bahrain, I didn't even I didn't really know yet what was going on at home. I just had, yeah, lots of emails and, of course, interviews. But I didn't really speak. I only spoke to the people I saw in Kona. But only after Bahrain, I realized how much attention also it was creating in Switzerland, and how many people actually followed it and were really happy that I won. So that was, I only found that out a bit later. So it was a bit of, putting it on hold as well.
So how hard was it to keep training? Because usually the goal is, okay, I'm going to Ironman. That's my season finale. Now I'm going to go eat chicken wings and I'm going to drink beer. I'm just going to hang out. And, it's postseason. You've already won Frankfurt. You've already won 70.3 Worlds. You've had an amazing season. And then you got to keep training because you've got one more race, and not just any race. The race is worth, if you win it, $1 million. So you got some motivation to keep training, but was it hard after winning Ironman to keep training?
Well, that's a funny part. Like, the money is never the like, even if it's a lot of money, I don't think it's going to help you to train hard and get up in the morning and, work hard.
Yeah.
For me, it's never been a motivation.
Right.
I think how I could handle it was more that I knew before Kona that I might actually, I'm not at top yet. And that's what Brett told me. And also I knew I could improve another level. And that's what I tried to focus on. And of course, I would also have enjoyed to go home and see my friends and family because I've been away for a bit. But then the first part was quite good. I was motivated to get back into it. I also enjoyed it. The few days I was another, I think, 9 or 10 days I spent in Kona and trained there, and I really enjoyed it. And then going to Thailand, of course, in the beginning it was supposed to be only 2.5 weeks, and that was a period of time you can just put your life on hold and say, okay, that's, 3 weeks. It's a big race coming up. It's my job to, prepare well. And that's what I did. And then, of course, it changed a bit my thinking when there was another 2 weeks because the race was delayed to December. It's things you can't see in advance. And
right.
it makes it hard mentally when you have to replan, but I didn't have a chance. I just tried to be flexible and be professional, and I think it definitely helped me to get in a good shape, I'm really grateful the sport to have that opportunity of that Triple Crown, of course, as well. It's for the sport a new area which probably might change the planning of the season, where if you have races in February and then in September, October and December. It definitely will. I'm interested how it's going to affect impact the season planning in the next years.
So when you go to Bahrain and win Bahrain, like you mentioned, I don't think you're somebody who's that motivated by money. I think you want to beat the best people on the best day. But coming down the stretch and knowing that someone was going to be giving you a check for $1 million, did that go through your head at all?
Well, yeah, of course. You can't switch it off. Of course, it goes through your head because you get reminded in every second talk you have.
Yeah, every person like me who's saying, what are you going to do with $1 million?
There was a lot of attention.
Sure.
So that was one thing which was very positive, of course. There's a lot of media attention. In Bahrain, but also from Switzerland, and so that was definitely it was a lot of pressure, of course. But not only because of the what you might receive when you finish, when you cross the finish line, but also because I knew I did everything possible to be the best I can be in that race. And then you're there, and actually I had a bit of a shocker 2 days before the race because I started to get a sore throat, and I actually had a bit of a cold coming up, and that was a really really big challenge for me mentally, because you when you're so fit, you did everything you can, and then you have your body is still, it's still the main factor, and such a little thing like a cold can just put you out of the game. And luckily,
Fortunately?
Lucky?
Fortunately,
I could just keep it under control, and then the race, was like when you're prepared, you know the chances are pretty good you can actually do it. It's, you always have to first do it, and everyone is like, you're going to win. And it was definitely, I think Kona and Bahrain was definitely the two biggest races in terms of pressure, and that's why I'm also really proud I could handle it, and I think I don't think I'll ever be under such pressure again, because, for me, I could prove it to myself. I really did that, these two races, and I'm really glad that on these two races we could show it. And I think also for Brett, he told me to, if we can do these two races well, next year we're gonna have some more, how do you say, some more air in the,
a little more time off.
Yeah, well, he will definitely give me some more spacing in terms of decisions, and I think it's also next year will be a year where I can also have some experiments and
do some other things.
Yeah.
So, when you look back at everything you've accomplished, and you're still young, you're like 28 years old. Mm-hmm. Is there one race that sticks out, that means more to you than other races? I mean, we look at it and go, you won Ironman, you won Bahrain, you won Frankfurt. But is there a race in your mind that meant more than all of those races?
To me, it's still 70.3 Rapperswil is still one of my favorite races.
Yeah.
It's just because that's kind of the first race in 2014 where I worked with Brett, and that was the for me the shocker race, because I performed really well and I was so surprised. I had no idea how to charge my fitness, and then I showed a good performance, and it's a great race. I just really like it, and of course Kona is it's a very special race. It's the atmosphere, the spirit is a great it's just really unique, and it's definitely the history of triathlon, I think, is really where it's based and
exactly.
Or where it started, and
yeah.
So it's definitely a very special race as well.
So as you move into next year, and you move into 2016, so here you've had this legendary season where you won everything, you won $1 million, you won every title there was. How do you follow that up? Do you feel pressure that, oh my God, what do I do now? I'm 28 years old and I've done everything.
No, I don't feel pressure actually. I'm just really happy, and at the moment, I think it's also important to enjoy success.
Yes.
At the moment, I really do enjoy it, and then for next year, I think I still have my main motivation why I do triathlon is still not satisfied, and that's I want to find out how fast I can get, and Chrissy Wellington is one of my idols, and she's the fastest in the world with 8 hours and 18 minutes, I think, and
8:18.
I think it's not that I will go to a race and try to break that world record, for example, but it's a like a vision.
It's a goal.
Maybe a goal is a bit too much, but it's a number which is in my head,
mm-hmm.
and it's a target. I don't know if I will ever be as fast, but I also don't expect it from myself, but I want to find out if I can. And of course, many people or a few people say, oh, next year you have to win everything. But to me, it's, of course, winning is nice. And of course, I enjoy winning. But I don't expect to have another such year because it was one unreal year. And it would be wrong to expect that from myself now because I could only lose. So I think, next year I want to see how I can develop and what I can improve. And also, like I said before, I think it's a year where I can maybe also do an experiment. And one of that would be maybe to try to do a race in time trialing, just to have a look, like how fast can I go in time trialing only.
Yes.
And it would be definitely something I am considering. And also, talked to Swiss Cycling, and I know that it's not impossible to still qualify for the Olympics for time trialing.
Wow! Of course, very cool.
It would be a very brave experiment.
Yes.
But I would only consider it if I at the moment I'm just interested to see how fast I go on just time trialing. So to do a race would be maybe the first step, and then from then I would see further. I'm not gonna go to Rio to just go to Rio, because I think I've been twice to the Olympics, and for me it's not a motivation to go there to just be there. I think I'd rather, if I just want to go there, I'd just rather go for holidays. But I would, of course, I'm interested to see where I could be, and so that's one thing at the moment crossing my mind, and definitely we're going to maybe give it some more serious thoughts and talk to Brett and also to the Cycling Federation to see what we can do there.
I love that. Now, is when you think about the $1 million that you won, you don't seem like a real material type of person, but was there one thing that you said, this is something I've always wanted to buy, and now I'm going to go buy it?
Well, not really. I bought a nice dress because we had the Swiss Sport Awards just last weekend.
Yes.
So after the race in Bahrain, with my friends and my training friend and my massage therapist, we went to the shopping mall and had to look. We tried to find a nice dress.
Yes.
It didn't actually. The price was not that high actually. So it wouldn't. I would have bought the same dress than if I have not won the million. So it didn't affect what I bought. And one thing I always wanted to do is to make a party for my friends, sponsors,
yes,
and family.
Yep.
But even this, I already organized, or my mom actually helped me to organize that for me already early before I raced in Bahrain and before I'd raced in Kona. So that was, for me, to give something back was really nice. And we had that party last weekend on Saturday. And, it was a really great night to have everyone together and also share that success. So that was one thing I really wanted to give back from also the good year I had, not just racing or making money in Bahrain. So I think that was one of the luxury I did, or actually to share it with my people,
Team. Love it. Daniela, congratulations on everything you've accomplished. It's great to have you in the sport. I love it when somebody comes in and is not afraid to just go for it. And I also think that you could make the Olympic team as a time trialist. That would be a fun deal. Go to time trial and get yourself a medal, and then come win Ironman again.
Yeah, well, we'll see. It's definitely a bit far ahead talking, but we will see what happens. I think it might be an opportunity, and if I see if it's a real opportunity, I'm definitely going to take it. And if not, I'm going to for sure find some other challenges.
Love it. Again, our guest has been Daniela Reif, who had the greatest season any female athlete, endurance athlete, has ever had. Daniela, thanks so much for taking time and chatting with us.
Thank you for having me.
Again, we are brought to you by Ironman U, by EverySite.com, RunCatalina.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation. We've raised over $70 million to keep athletes in the game of life through sport. And check out any of our interviews on iTunes or Babbittville. We've had over 700,000 downloads of our shows. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.